Only one, right? You guys can relax now. And it won't always be just one, but I think just for time's sake tonight. All right, let's finish that series that I didn't know was a series until I opened my mouth. It was called Maturing Faith. So important. Let's do a little bit of a review. I think how we started out, we said at some point each and every one of us have this belief in us that there's something greater than what I see in front of me. I mean, physical realm, right? Back to kind of the ABCs. You know, there's something greater than myself that I may not be able to see with these natural eyes, what we would call the unseen thing. And that's there's something bigger than myself that may just want a reconciliation with myself, and that is God, meaning that God wants you. He wants to have a relationship with you. But this God we talk about every Sunday, every Wednesday, and I know you know this, but it's good to be remindful, we can't physically see Him, right? We can see His designs. We can look at each other. You are made of God and the workmanship of Christ. We can see these things, but we start growing into the area that there's something unseen greater than me that I need to know more of. And there's a gravitational pull to that. And that's where we come, whether it's into a church or it's other friends, as we said earlier, that I want to find out more. Come see, what is this thing that is so big and unseen? And then we talked about this epic scripture. That's Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Can you put that up? Just a little bit of review. Did I give you that? Ephesians, no, I didn't. All right, come on, awesome. Okay, this is Paul talking to the church of Ephesus and to every church moving forward. There's that moment that he says, God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Continue. Salvation is not a reward for good things we have done. Let me go back again. We need to be mindful of this. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. Some other translations say grace is almost when we decide to surrender to this bigger thing we can't see, which is God Almighty, grace and favor come in. Can you go to verse 10, I think it is? For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He has planned for us long ago. Some of the other translations says, grace and faith is a gift that comes into you when you surrender your life to Christ. And many of us have done that. Grace and faith. It's like peanut butter and jelly, spaghetti and... You need those together in your life. But it is a gift. So here's our big idea of this maturing faith. Can you put that slide up? I think the maturing faith, big idea, at least from this. Faith stands as a pillar in our lives. If you remember the slide we had last time was a pillar, and your beliefs are upon that pillar. But those beliefs will only sustain as long as that pillar is holding them up, right? Between the spirit and the soul, a precious gift, this is faith, a precious gift meant to grow stronger as we walk in obedience with God and embrace who Christ is, what He has done, what is still to come. This faith, over time, grows in an understanding of God as our Father. We're going to talk about that more in just a few minutes. So this is the big idea, that there's a maturing that needs to happen in your faith. Everybody said, amen. The word in Hebrew, we did went over the word in Hebrew for faith is anam. It's E-N-A-M-A-M-H, aman, I guess. And if you break that down in Hebrew, it gives an indication of there's, a pillar or some steadfastness of what faith is for us and why we need it. The root word of that, anam, I didn't go further into that last week, actually comes from the word amen. Meaning it is done, it is finished. Your faith should be done and finished, done. That's what the Hebrew root comes out of. If we're going to the Greek root word, it's pistis, which is a confidence, and listen to this, a confidence and a fidelity to the only Creator of who we believe in, even though we can't see Him right now. the Greek in that. And then, as we know, we talked about trust is that exterior. Our great preacher example is the chair you're sitting in right now. Before you sat down in that chair today, you had faith that that chair was going to hold you. You hadn't sat in it yet, but you sat in it. And that sitting in it is now you're trusting in that chair that it's going to hold you right now, the exterior exercise of your faith. And everybody said, it's holding you up. The chair. We went to, we started in Hebrews, and this is where we're going to go in through today. The writer of Hebrews is at that point really believing the audience that he or she is writing to at that time is very familiar with a lot of Jewish practices and principles of the time. So they go in and out and weaving and talking about the principles and practices. And in chapter 10, we went through it very quickly that the writer is reminding us of what the old law was about. It was about, especially in the temple, of you bringing a sacrifice and sacrificing an animal for your forgiveness of sin. And that you would have to do that over and over, and that the priest would be between you and God in doing that. And that was the old law. So Hebrews 10 begins to wind down at the end and says, wait, we want you to put your faith in something else. We want you to put your faith in the Lamb of God, who is the only and final sacrifice for our life. That Jesus was sacrificed, the Lamb of God. So you do not need to go to a temple and, thank you, PETA, kill any more animals. Animals, is that the word? Yeah, I can't talk today. Animals, you don't have to do that. But you need to have your faith in Jesus Christ and the work of the cross that has been done. Then we got into Hebrews 11, which is the Hall of Fame, the epic, at least the first few verses are there, the epic verses of faith. And in Hebrews 11, I know we know it, but I want to read it again. How about a Hebrews 11, 1 through 3? And put that up, yep. Now faith, not yesterday, not tomorrow. Now faith. So this is the ingredients of what faith is, and we're talking about this being matured. This is what this talk is about. Now faith is the substance. Substance is something of things we hope for, not an I wish. If you go back into the Greek and Hebrew, hope is a little more solid than what we have now today and say, I hope for the best. No, it's a solid hope saying, I have hope in this. Things of hope for. The evidence, your evidence that you need the faith is because it's not seen. It's okay if it's not seen. Mature your faith. But by it, the elders obtained a good report. And we're going to get back to the elders in just a second. How about number three? Through faith, not because of faith, through faith, we understand, this is that unseen things that we're starting to have our beliefs supported on our pillar of faith and maturing it. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. God said it, it became. You need to be mindful that you carry powerful things in your mouth too. To damn, can I say that word? Or to bring life. Remember that. The Word of God, so that things which are seen, trees, even mosquitoes, things of which were seen are not made of things which do appear, because God said it. Yes, He used to wander in the cool of the day in Eden, which means temple in Greek. He wandered in the cool of day where Adam and Eve could see Him and fellowship with Him for every day. They hung out. But then when sin came, he could not be in that realm anymore. We go further in verse 11. The elders, a good report. The elders are these men and women of faith. We talk quickly about Abel. Abel's sacrifice was greater than Cain. It was basically his first fruits. Abel knew, I was giving your first fruit of what I had. And he had faith doing that. First fruits also go into our tithes, faith. Then he goes into Enoch. Enoch was of good pleasure of the Lord that God took him out of the earth. He didn't even have to physically die. And that's where you get the verse, without faith it's impossible to please God. Enoch diligently sought him. And we can too. Moses, had maturing faith to walk up to Pharaoh, who has all the worldly power in the world, to say, and he had a stuttering problem, if we remember Moses, from what some accounts say. He walked up to Pharaoh and said, with maturing faith, let my people go. That took maturing faith. Joshua, a very unconventional, we just had the production here a few weeks ago, a very unconventional way to bring a fortress of walls down. Would you say? They had the military to do it. They'd won many other battles. But God said, I need you to do it this way. Get up there and walk around seven times and I'll take care of the rest. That takes a maturing faith. You got to think at least around the fifth time. The trumpet jazz player is putting it down saying, dude, you think we got to keep going? Is this going to fall? I have maturing faith. We're going to keep walking around this wall and it will come down. It will come down. So at the end of chapter 12, it talks about all these people of faith, and it says they are still great people of faith, but they didn't even get to witness the full promise of faith, which was in Jesus Christ. So how much more you and I can walk in mature faith with Jesus Christ in our life? They didn't have it. They didn't have it. So we have no excuse. Then I got to a spectrum, let's call it, about maturing faith again. I said our maturing faith is right here. And this is where we did some toe-stepping. I said over here, well, I'll go this way first. You go over here, I said, when you begin to follow Christ, you know, you may not have great faith. You know, you're growing. You've had the Yes, Jesus book. You're trying to grow your faith in different things and mature it. But there could be a lot of doubt in your life, maybe the way you were raised, different things like that. And you're like, well, you know, yeah, I know God loves me, but, you know, there's a lot of buts in your language. And that's okay. Everybody's somewhere. But there's just a lot of buts of, yeah, God loves me. You know, you're not really exercising or maturing your faith because of doubt, fear. Because fear is a contaminant of faith. It's like oil and vinegar. They cannot exist together. So you maybe have some fear in your life of the past. And then there's people even over here that are starting to follow Christ, and they don't have great faith because they love control. It's my game, my shop, my everything. I can't let control in this faith thing. So you stay here, but there's nothing going on here. You're just going through the motions, being a Christian or whatever. And then we get way over to here, and this is a few, you get way over here, and then you have a self-serving faith where it's all about me, myself, and I, and the principles are working, but when they start not working, I begin to try and possess something that was a gift to me at salvation. You cannot possess faith. It's a gift. You need to steward it. We talk about stewardship. So then if I got to possess it, what I possess and I control, I have to maintain. And it can be very exhausting because God's never going to compete with you and him. He'll get out of the picture. And so we have super faith. We're trying to possess things. Well, sometimes the prosperity gospel can come out of here. Oh my gosh, what did he just say? Yes, the prosperity gospel can get into this area for the wrong reasons. Because it's self-serving faith. It's self-serving faith. We try to possess it. We try and do things. And some of the principles will work for a long time, but then you have to sustain that. I'm very leery when to listen to a message that says, and I've seen it just recently, the title was, What Faith Does. The title should be, What God Does Through Your Maturing Faith. That puts me more over here. Because my object is all about faith. And we need it. But it's a gift. We can't possess it. It needs to mature. So now you get in the center of what this whole series is about, is maturing faith, which we need. And as we learned in Hebrews 11, maturing faith. And we just look at Hebrews 11 and live in that, about faith. So everybody from Abraham to Moses, Sarah, Enoch, Joshua, and many others, they say at the end that we can't even go through, or the chapter would be so many verses. It said very specifically that these people matured in faith first because of their obedience. We don't like to hear that. And through the obedience, they became righteousness of God. Not righteousness and then obedience. It was obedience. When Abraham had to leave his comfortable life and was told to go to another land with only a few people following him, but he was doing pretty well where he was. He was maturing his faith to be obedient to what God had told him to do. You go further. When Abraham had to walk his gift, which was Isaac, up a mountain, he had to have some maturing faith to do that. You just gave me Isaac, and you're telling me to go up a mountain and sacrifice him? His obedience gave him maturing faith. But many times we forget about obedience, and that's what begins to mature our faith, and we are called righteousness. Righteousness is a child of the Most High God. If you are obedient and you're maturing your faith, you are a child of God. God, the creator of the universe, who knows your name, knows the hairs on your head or lack of hairs on your head. He knows all about you. Which gets me to the next point. That was our review pretty much. We have another way of maturing our faith. And I know we know it, but it has to leave here. Because the other thing with faith, it's not just mental ascension. We've talked about that last week too. It's not saying, if I say it many times, I agree with myself, therefore it is. Sounds like a Shakespeare play. But it's not that. It's got to drop down deep in you. And when all hell is caving in around you, my faith is maturing in you. That's maturing faith. Yeah, but maturing faith, because we're going to learn about a few things. But here's what you got to get anchored into. So this is somewhat today. You have to, and again, I'm growing in it too. Do you really know that God is your Father? Because if you don't, you will end up in one of these camps for a while, trying to self-serve things. He's your Father. He loves you. He designed you not just to be distant from you, like fish in an aquarium you feed every week. He wants to be with you. He wants to be with you. Just to prove it, you had Jesus teaching on faith in Matthew 6:9. He says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." He's addressing God as a father to us. He was a father to Jesus, and he should be a father to you because he loves you so very much. Romans 8:15, can you put that up? Again, on the anthem of understanding that he's a father. "So we have not received a spirit makes you fearful slaves." This isn't like Pharaoh in Egypt. "Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. For now we call him Abba Father." Do we call him Abba Father? And the Jewish term in Hebrew of Abba Father is not only just in the title of knowing what's come out of him, a birth or a creation, but it's also in the deeper context in the Jewish Hebrew that Abba Father means that you know everything and you take care of everything and you tend to everything. That's my Father. Is he a father to you? Go to Galatians. There's another part where Paul's talking about this. "And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts." It's part of the Holy Spirit when we decide to follow Christ, prompting us to call out, "Abba, Father. Abba, Father." These folks in Hebrews 11 knew God was their Father. And this may be hard for some because maybe you didn't have, and we're going to read about this in a minute, you didn't have a physical father that was around. So you're and this many times can happen to those following Christ. It's like, well, I didn't have any great examples with an earthly father. So how can I even, somebody's unseen, we talked about this. How can I receive and commune with another father because I don't have an example? But see, there's a DNA design in you. When you have the Spirit of God in you. And it can take time. It doesn't happen overnight. That the love that you need from your Heavenly Father will invade your life, even no matter what kind of father you had. Because it's a filling of his DNA. An image of that of God that's in you is being imaged into you. That he will fill you. He will, where there's, so you didn't have a good father. And that's real. And I had a loving father, you know. I got spanked a few times, born a halo, but, you know. But I had a good father growing up, but some may not. But let's put that aside. I got a secret. You know, people are going to fail you sometimes. People that mean well, that even say I love you, they're going to fail you sometimes. So that none of it's the greatest example to begin with. Just go to your Heavenly Father. The DNA is in you already when you have the Spirit of God in you from following Christ and deciding to move in this direction. We need to ground that He's your Father. Because in the sleepless nights when everything's dark and everybody's abandoned you, we can go to our Father. When there are many unknowns, you can mature your faith to say, I don't understand what's going on. But I know who's in the palm of my hand, right? That I'm in His hands right now, and that is my Father God. He wants to be called Father. Let's go to Hebrews 12. We're going to try and go through this chapter today, continuing the idea of maturing faith. And again, we need to know He is our Father. That is pretty much ground zero to maturing your faith. In chapter 2, we're going to learn how we mature our faith is through, boy, I'm swearing a lot today. The word endurance. Endurance, obedience. You know, for some it may be like, ah! But endurance. Because endurance helps mature faith, we're about to find out. And that the second part of Hebrews 12 is that God is our Father, as we've been talking about. But guess what? He disciplines us like a father should sometimes. And it's okay because it helps our endurance in continuing to trust Him that He knows better. And then towards the end of Hebrews 12, it talks about grace. Back to the grace that was given to you to see the unseen, to have faith in God, to have Him be your Father, to have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, be living in you daily. We can't abandon the grace. But not everybody agrees with that. And you'll see in this in a minute. So let's go to Hebrews 12. I think we'll break it down to Hebrews 12, 2. Let's jump in. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses, and by the way, let's do context in Bible, right? There's a reason why chapters are numbered. So who are they talking about? Therefore, we are surrounded by a huge crowd of witnesses. They're talking about the people of faith we just were talking about in chapter 11. Abraham, all these people. All right? Makes sense. Context. Crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. Let us strip every weight that slows us down. That means we can strip it off by the power of God. We can. Every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, let us run. Wait a minute, I didn't sign up for this. Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Keep going to verse 2. We do this by, here's the key ingredient in maturing our faith. We do this by keeping our eyes on your friend. Keep your eyes on Fox News, CNN. Keep your eyes on Jesus. The champion who initiates, look at this, champion, so Jesus is the champion because He won over death, who initiates and perfects our faith. So whether I'm over here in doubt, whether I'm over here self-sustaining faith, I need to know, my eyes need to be on Jesus so I can mature my faith. Him and Him alone. Not some new teaching that we don't know. Him, faith in Jesus. Keeping our eyes on Jesus. Author and finisher, because of, oh, this is so beautiful. For us it is. Because of the joy awaiting Him when He was heading up to the cross at Calvary, He endured the cross. Pastor, you don't understand what I'm going through. Did you go to a cross? How were your thorns? Were they 1 inch or 10 inches? You bled a little bit. Oh, by the way, did you surrender and open your hand so they could put spikes in there too? Pastor, I'm going through a lot. And it is. It's real. I'm not discounting that. But the writer's here trying to say, because of the joy awaiting Him, He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now He is seated, His reward, in the place of honor beside God's throne. Keep going. Did I not have you go? Think of all, so this is back to the pain. Pastor, I'm going through so much. And you are. I'm not discounting that. But come on, listen to this. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. That when you wouldn't become weary and give up. I don't know about you, I probably would have had to give up earlier. After all, you have not yet given your lives, this is to the reader, in your struggle against sin. He did it, and he did it for us. So yes, we go through things, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But it didn't. It's not the same. Jesus made the example of what enduring faith is and what needs to be. Amen, hallelujah, one person ran around the church. All right. Okay, chapter 12, let's go to verse 3. We talked about that. Let's jump over. Yeah, we'll continue on this route just for time's sake. Why don't we keep going to my shoes untied. I'll get it. Thank you. Hey, I love you. Let's go to verse, we'll go up to 13, I think. All right. Now go back, I'm sorry. Go back to like, I think it was 10 or something. Sorry, I got you moving today. Yeah, keep going. Keep going back. Let's go 7. Nine, since we respect earthly. Okay, here we go. All right, so now we're just talking about Jesus, what he endured. Now it's talking about what we may have to endure. And starts in verse 7. As you endure this divine discipline. What? Thought when I came to Christ, my brochure said it was roses, bees were buzzing and giving me free honey. And you're telling me there's a discipline now? As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you. What? I told her what I did last time. She threw a fork at me. God is, thank you. That's tight. God is treating you as his own children. So again, can we get serious? Remember that God is treating you as his own children. Again, my faith is maturing in obedience and righteousness that comes along with this. Whoever heard of a child who is never disciplined by his father? So we're talking about Heavenly Father having to discipline us at times. Keep going. If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means that you are illegitimate and are not really his children at all. Stop right there. I have many people, and I'm growing in this, so I've said some stupid things. Can I say that? Not today, I hope, but I've had some people say, I think God's leading me over here. Not another church, just doing that. It could be that too, I don't know. It's just I'm running around. And my hope is that I see that most of the running around is really running from God's discipline of what you need to grow in. But I'll run to the next thing. And you never got the thing here to grow you, because he wants to grow you into the image of Christ and be full and complete and joy that is eternal. But we're running around because we don't want to be disciplined sometimes. Just a side note, if you're like that, first litmus test is, are you walking in any unforgiveness? Because that'll get you good. Because that's where God usually gets the most. He got me a lot on that. He says, well, you haven't forgiven that person. I'm not moving you anywhere. I'm not doing this in your life. I can't do that because you have hardened your heart. And you haven't forgiven somebody. Yeah, but they stabbed me in the back. And then God says, oh, yeah, that's right. I saw you next to Jesus on Calvary as they were spitting on his face, going up to the cross, bleeding. Yeah, okay, Chris. Okay. Yeah, we'll get past this. No! Forgiveness. If God doesn't discipline you as he does all his children, it means you're illegitimate and are not really his children at all. Keep going. Since we respected our earthly fathers, I know that's seeming hard and hard nowadays, who discipline us, shouldn't we submit every more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? You're going to live forever with Him. Might as well take correction now. Keep going. For our earthly Father disciplines us for a few years, doing this the best they know how, but God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share, amen, we may share in His holiness. We're maturing our faith in this. Keep going. No discipline, at least the author admits this, no discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It is painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in His ways. That is far more eternal than your temporal happiness. So take, this is key, take a new grip with your tired hands, because you've been beaten up in discipline, and strengthen your weak knees. Keep going. Mark out your straight path for your feet, so that those who are weak and lame will not fall, but become strong. What that is saying, that even in the discipline periods that God may be disciplining you in, He's asking you to help others. No, that can't be right. Because that'll strengthen you too. So, Pastor, what are you saying? When you're maturing in your faith, and we'll read more in a minute, it might have something to do how we help others and love others around us. I've left self-sustaining faith over here, so I'm right here. Whatever God wants, I'm your hands and feet. Whatever you want to mature in me and be. Let's go to verse 14. So this is talking about the grace of God and rejecting the grace, but that also giving grace to others around us. This matures our faith. Work at living peace with everyone. What? Yeah, but he's a different political affiliation. Come on, we're at least mature. That's another myth. Work at living in peace with everyone. Everyone! The person that just cut you off on the way here on the highway. And work at living a holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Whoa. I thought faith was fun. What's going on here? Keep going. Look after each other. This is what we need to do. This helps mature our faith. It's not self-serving faith. It's maturing faith. Look at each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Because some people haven't accepted that. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Is it? No, go back there for a minute. Yeah, bitterness. Thank you. Poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you. So when you have bitterness in your heart, it doesn't just affect you. It corrupts many. What we're saying, what we're doing, keep going. Maturing our faith. Make sure that no one is immoral or godless like Esau. Some of us know Esau, who traded his birthright as the firstborn son for a single meal. He was replacing a God's blessing in his life because he was hungry at the moment for a meal. That's just a quick pitch on that whole story. But he traded something that was not equally valued by any means. Continue. You know that afterwards, when he wanted his father's blessings, he was rejected. It was too late for repentance. Satan loves to hear the word, "Well, I have tomorrow." Even though he begged with bitter tears. Keep going. You have not come to a physical mountain. So this is where we're getting into. What time are we at? You have not come to a physical mountain. This is the different grace that we have now in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have not come to a physical mountain, to a place of flaming fire. This is a little different than Mount Wachusett. Darkness, gloom, and whirlwind, as the Israelites did on Mount Sinai. You remember Moses coming down with the Ten Commandments and God and order and everything that had to be, because he was trying to get the Israelites to listen to what he's saying. Keep going. For they heard an awesome trumpet blast and a voice so terrible that they begged God to stop speaking. Imagine that. So booming. and terrifying. They staggered back under God's commandment. If any animal even touched that mountain where God was, it must be stoned to death. This is best presence in that time frame. Moses himself was so frightened at the sight that he said, "I am terrified and trembling." Keep going. No. So this is now us, the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you have come to Mount Zion, far better mountain, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. This is where your faith matures because you know where you have access to. The heavenly Jerusalem, and to countless thousands of angels in a joyful gathering. Joyful. Keep going. You have come to the assemblies of God's firstborn children, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God Himself, who is the judge over all things, Father God. You have come to the spirits of the righteous, ones in heaven who have now been made perfect. Keep going. You have come to Jesus, the one who mediates. We need to be mindful of this every day. The one who mediates the new covenant between God and people, saying you are the redeemed in Christ. You can access the presence of God and into eternity. And to the sprinkling blood, which speaks of forgiveness. This is Jesus, instead of crying out for vengeance like the blood of Abel. It keeps getting better. Keep going. Be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one who is speaking. Pause right there. In maturing our faith, we need to be selective in what we listen to. If you don't want to mature your faith, listen to everything. But if you want to mature your faith, be listening to the Word of God, the written Word, and the living God, which is Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, because He wants to speak to you. We hear so many voices every day. It's on our phones. It's everywhere speaking to us. The bills even speak to us through the mail. Everything speaks to us. But selective, you're hearing. He's saying right here, do not listen to everyone who's speaking, basically. This is what got Eve even trouble with the serpent. She listened. For if the people of Israel did not escape when they refused to listen to Moses, the earthly messenger, we will certainly not escape it if we reject the one who is speaking now to us from heaven. From heaven. Keep going. It gets better. When God spoke from the Mount of Sinai, His voice shook the earth. But now He makes another promise. Once again, and boy, we get it occasionally. I know there's a few earthquakes lately around here, and that's just Matthew 24. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. Everything that He reigns over. This means that all of creation will be shaken and removed. Talking about end times and revelations. So that only I want to know what's unshakable. And you know who that is? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. So the only unshakable things will remain. He's not leaving us abandoned. Keep going. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping Him with holy fear and awe. A kingdom that is unshakable. Revelations 21. There is a new Jerusalem, 20, and we'll talk more about it next year, a new Jerusalem coming down. God does not make junk. He loves restoring things. And He's in the restoration business with you and this earth once sin gets judged. Restoration. There's a kingdom that is coming. Let us be thankful so we can please God by worshiping Him and fearing Him and awing Him. Amen. But that matures our faith as well, too. We have to be very careful to not have the reverence to God that He deserves as a Father, but also God who has made heaven and earth that we are in at this point. Let's wind down things here. Back to our spectrum. Maturing faith that's in the center. This is a doubtful person. Fear's kind of in the middle of things. Or I'm a control freak. Things like that. How do I move from here to there? You haven't fully surrendered. Surrender. Surrender your soul, your mind, will, emotions. Surrender. Yeah, but Pastor Chris, I like my personality. You'll have your personality. You'll have your same color, your hair. You're surrendering your soul and spirit to Jesus. Because when you do that, there's no other option because you're not relying on yourself anymore. You're relying on a God, a Father, and Jesus Christ here that will take care of you and do and wherever you're being called to be and what you're supposed to do. So leaving that is important. But some of you over here, and I know, some of you are broken. You're just broken. Life, you came to Christ, but it's like, I mean, I need some healing. It's not physical, but it's soulful healing. I need help. I need help. I need help. And for some of you, like I said, it's control. But let me read. You didn't know I was a poet. I'm going to read a poem here to help the person with the broken pieces because it will increase your faith if our eyes are on Jesus. If you are broken by life's trials and weary from life's defeats, if you have been badly battered and have no joy or peace, give God your broken pieces. Surrender it to Him so He will mold them back into place. He can make them better than before. We need to understand that. He loves restoring, as we said. He can make them better than before with a touch of His sweet grace and faith that you grow in Him. If your dreams have been shattered, often by much struggle and pain, even if your life seems hopeless, God can restore you again. Can you take the broken pieces and He can make them whole? It does not matter how badly broken they are. God has the power to restore. So we are never without hope or faith that shapes whatever shape we are in. God can take fragmented lives and put them together again. So if you are broken beyond measure and you don't know what to do, God specializes in broken things. His glory can shine through. Broken pieces. I have a poem for the control freak. Let go. Here's the other one. Here's the self-serving faith. Self-serving faith camp. If we're over here and we haven't gotten here, here's a poem. I built a tower out of my faith, stone by stone of certain fortress of my own believing, a monument of what I could hold and be. But storms have a way to remind us that the sky is still above, and that when the winds rolls, my tower trembled like my tower that I built trembled like a child, trying to stand in a giant shadow. So I lifted up my eyes, passed through the walls I made, past the strength I have claimed, past the faith I knew was enough, and there you were, standing, waiting for me. Steady as a sunrise, quiet as a breeze, stronger than the sum of all my striving. My faith was never meant to be the hero of my story. It was meant to be the bridge that can carry me to you. So I shift my confidence in my grip to the confidence in your hands, for faith in my faith to faith in my God, and the tower falls, but I do not fall, because now I stand on the rock that never moves, which is Jesus Christ. Get your faith on these things. So as we land this plane, I have a slide. One more slide. Is it the breakdown so we can move on? Okay. Again, that's big. So here's what I put together. Maturing our faith from last week and this week. You need to learn to abide in Christ. We talked about devotion with that eternal equation. Stewardship, devotion equals worship. Go back to that devotion. That's abiding in Christ. What you do daily is abiding in Christ through prayer and the Word of God written and living. And second, which is so popular, be obedient to what God is leading you into. Three, when going through things, keep your eyes on Christ. Let me break this that one part down. Number three, your faith is required when you're going to go into something and when you're going to go through something. Into and through. Into is more where God's calling you. Richard, maybe calling you to be something that's outside of your comfort zone. But He's calling you into. You need to mature your faith into that when that door is open. Through things are what we get a lot of. Like, I'm going through a lot. And you are. And God may not move the mountain, but He'll put you through it. Through it. Because it's going to test us for endurance and keep our character even better than before. Because at the end of the day, we're still, at this point, not going to Calvary and being crucified for our belief. Number four, for others, it's so important. Maturing your faith has a lot to do with the people around you. Pray for others so they may see God's love. Over and over in Hebrews, it's talking about, like, all right, you're maturing your faith, but now it goes even further when you think of others, to pray for them. Imagine if everybody prayed for somebody around them, then you would never have to pray for yourself. And that's kind of the God design. Let us find that. Number five, learn to find rest. If your faith is maturing, you should be in a state of rest at some point, that God is in control. When you have begun to surrender more of your control to God. And then exercise, it was another series, but the gears of faith, the mechanisms. How are you responding to things when they come in front of you? Responding in fear over here? Or are you responding in super faith over here that you're so heavenly minded you're earthly useless? Or is your maturing of faith keeping you anchored to what you're talking about? A response. Doctor calls you, you have cancer. What's your response to that? I know my Father God. I'm a child of the Most High God. I know what Jesus did on the cross. I believe in healing. I know He's going to take care of me. It's not in what I do, it's what God's going to continue to do. And we need to release that. But they're same, similar, but they head in two different directions sometimes. The other gear is authority. Know that you have the authority of Jesus Christ in you if you're following Christ. To speak life into death areas. But you got to be doing all these things. You got to be abiding, obedient, praying for others, know when to rest. These all come together. And then the last thing is the unity of faith. We are the Lord Jesus Christ, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever's believing in Jesus Christ, believes in the Bible, believes in the Holy Spirit, a spirit-lived driven faith, then we should come into unity with everybody around us instead of division, which the world loves seeing division. Say, oh, those Christians, they don't know what they're doing. They forget love and they're too busy in their other things. This is the church that love is building. Like Abraham, back into in and through. Abraham went into a new land like Noah that went into a boat building business. Through Sarah's faith of believing for a child after she had a better idea, she thought at first. Like Moses when he went through the Red Sea, God was leading him through a sea that was in front of him, and he split it wide open because he had matured faith. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego threw a fire that they didn't want to do, but they trusted and had faith and a maturing faith that God will carry him because he's telling them to go into it right now and through it. So don't get all waffle of the intos and through things in life. That's life cycles, but have your mature faith that connects them both together because he sees you, he loves you, and he's guiding you. We just need to trust Him more, like sitting in that seat right now. You don't know when that seat was made. You're trusting. Your faith has caused you to trust. Amen? Amen? Maturing faith. And it doesn't happen overnight. If it does, it's not maturing faith. It takes time. Spending time with God more and maturing Him as He's your Father to continue to mature in Him. You can stay seated. We're going to do the Apostles' Creed. We believe heavily in community confession. And we haven't done this for a little bit, but we'll do it right now. All right, so you just read with me. You don't have to read back to me. We'll start. Ready? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father of Almighty. For there He will come again in the dead. Keep going. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Christ-centered church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen and amen. Amen, amen, amen. Let's just pray. in these end of days, you're going to want to make it a priority to mature your faith. Because it is getting darker out there, as you know. I don't have to tell you. So those that who endure, and even in Revelations and Jesus talking about those who endured to the end, well, your endurance is going to come by the faith you're maturing in. So you need to mature your faith. Because God knows where this is heading, and He wants you in it. Because at the end of the day, He wants His restored kingdom here with all of us as citizens of His kingdom. Because He loves us so very much. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful that we get to come together as a church community, Lord. Knowing that we come to worship You, to praise You, but also to receive from You and what You have for us. Holy Spirit, You know where everybody is, and You can always meet them where they are at with Your love. If some people are challenged today by that, let them be a discipline possibly from You, Father God. If some people are hopeless, let this be an encouragement to continue to mature their faith because You're waiting for them to lead them and guide them for the things ahead that You have in their life. Lord, thank You for loving us. Let us not be distracted by so many temporary things that grab our attention and call for us. But You're an eternal thing, God. You're our Father, Abba Father. Continue to help us discover daily through Your Holy Spirit on how much You love us and want to be a father to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you.